United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, Vicki Howard-Fine tells us about the Young Rider Mentorship Program. But first, Emily Bashir offers us a training tip. Emily, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
What do you have for us this time?
Well, I just got done competing at Plantation Field this weekend, and the cross-country course there has a lot of terrain, and it's something that sort of made me think back, even with my own horse that's competing at the three-star level now, about my adjustability and communication on cross-country. As we all know, that's one of those things that is really a make-or-break situation when you're out on course, and even for the lower levels, it's something that it seems is always talked about, you know, making more rockable on the cross-country. So there are certainly a lot of different techniques and ways to go about creating that communication on cross-country. So I wasn't thinking of going into that. What I was thinking of actually was a tool that I use at home that's very simple to help people to know whether or not they're achieving the right results before they go out and jump the cross-country jumps. So I thought we'd go with that for today.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's really very simple. What I am actually planning to do with my mare is to go out into one of our fields that has a little bit of a grade to it, not really much of a hill, but just more of a slope, really, and use some Cavaletti rails. It's a good way to work on the rider's eye, and the main thing that I work on is knowing whether or not when I have gotten the horse back to what I would consider a coffin canter or a balance canter for a combination on cross-country, whether or not they can, number one, hold that canter, and number two, you know, whether or not I really achieved the right canter. So, you know, a lot of times horses will slow down, but they might brace in their back or they might start getting crooked. So the Cavaletti exercise is really a great way to go about it, and anyone can do it. You know, you can start with something as simple as a pole on the ground, and then what I tend to do is build to, you know, four or five rails, and then depending on the horse's level and ability, I'll even use raised rails, and it's essentially flat work out in your field. Starting off, I would, with a young horse, I would certainly just start at the walk, and I would probably start with a single rail and get to the point where they can trot and canter comfortably both up and down a slope over a single rail. And, you know, the reason I said at the beginning there are a lot of different techniques, that even between the horses, the ways that they listen to your aids vary a great deal, and even as they progress through the levels, that keeps changing. So I go back to this tool as a way to test where my horse is and try to achieve some sort of consistency in my communication. So I'll start with a single rail, and then, for example, with a training or preliminary level horse, I would add four or five rails, and I would start off with the rails spaced 9 feet apart. You can certainly walk through them, you can trot comfortably through them, and you can canter through them in a nice, balanced, show-jumpy canter. When I want to start working on more of a cross-country aspect, I'll have the rails spaced a little further apart, which will continue to create a bounce stride in the canter, but will allow you to have a more forward, open feel to your canter. So, you know, if I was wanting to really test out my communication with the horse, I would go galloping across the field and then try to achieve what I feel is a proper balance for a combination on course and set up and then come through the bounce rails. And obviously if the horse has struggles with them, whether they find the distance too long, too short, kick the rails apart, you know, different things can happen. But it's a really good way for the rider to test whether or not they've achieved a good, soft, balanced, adjustable canter while out in the field. Something we all need to work on, certainly, and it never stops. And the reason that I started thinking about sharing that tip today was because my three-star mare is sort of going through a similar stage where, you know, she's gotten a little bolder now, and I need to go out and play around with how I communicate to balance for the combinations on course. So, you know, like I said, it's something that you can really tailor to each specific horse, but the underlying goal is to find a way to be consistent in the use of your aids in preparing your canter while out in the field so that you can get a reliable response on cross country.
That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because you just need to be able to call them back in a split second, but know what the tools that you're using to achieve that.
Right, and I feel like the Cavaletti is very helpful because it doesn't pound the horses. It's something you can do over and over and over again, and you know, really feel like you can work on the consistency of whether or not you're getting things right.
It makes a lot of sense, Emily. Well, thank you very much indeed for that. And do come back again and share more of your training tips with us, won't you?
I'd be happy to.
Vicky Howard-Fine has been involved with the Young Rider Mentorship Program since its inception in 2008, and she joins me now. Vicky, what was the catalyst for this?
The catalyst really behind this program came out of the Young Rider Coordinators group at convention one time, in the sense that once we realized that the FEI was going to hold fast to that 18-year-old cutoff rule, that, you know, if you did not have a two-star horse, you know, you were not going to be able to ride in an international competition. And recognition that in this country, that's difficult to do for a lot of 18-year-olds. So as at that point in time, I was Young Rider Coordinator for Area 9 and was part of that group, and we were all really trying to figure out how to keep the 18 to 21-year-olds in the Young Rider program when they didn't have that two-star horse. And so for them, it looked like, oh, I'm never going to be a part of Young Riders. At the same time, there was also a recognition that we needed to begin to take a look at how to bring young people into the officiating side of competition, because we need to start bringing along a new, you know, generation of judges, technical delegates, course designers, organizers, all the things that we need to keep this sport going. So the thought was, well, maybe we could come up with some kind of program. And at that point in time, I volunteered and said, look, let me do some investigating. Let me see if I can find a model. Let me see if I could create a mentorship program where we could pair these 18 to 21-year-olds who at that moment in time were not actively competing at the two-star level, and then pair them with the international officials, the FEI officials who come in to run and officiate at the NAJYRC.
And when you mention officials there, it really is all kinds of officials, isn't it?
Totally. We have all of the judges that you think about. We have the technical delegate, and we have the course designer. You know, David O'Connor has been very, very helpful in this and very much behind this. And we have the organizers on site. We also spend what we try and do. I try and get a sense when the applications come in of where the interest lies for that individual young rider protege. But I also feel very strongly about exposing them to all of the officials. And the officials have just become amazing over the years. Now that it's been operating long enough, many of them have been exposed to it, just by sheer volume of, well, only one or two may not know it, but the rest of the officiating crew is on board, and they just, the wealth of knowledge that these young people are exposed to is phenomenal. And I can't thank the officials from all over the world. And many of these young rider proteges still maintain relationships with, you know, judges from England, the judges from other parts of the country, or other parts of the world. And so it's really been a heartwarming as well as incredibly, incredibly, you know, amount of knowledge that has been transmitted.
Well, it's very inspirational for young people, obviously, to have that kind of insight as well. And tell us how you go about it, because I believe you're not allowed to be competing the same year as you're mentoring, are you?
No, you're not. And again, the goal was, and that is something that has taken time to kind of really zone in on, because I would have, you know, early on in the program, I would have, you know, many younger kids buy, well, I don't have my horse, isn't ready for the one star yet, so why don't I go do the mentorship program? And so it's taken a lot of time to educate the young rider coordinators, as well as when I get applications coming in, to educate the young rider potential proteges themselves, that if you're really looking at, and you do have the potential to ride at one star or the two star in the near future, your focus really would be far better served acting as a groom at NAJYRC, because as a going as a groom, you have the opportunity to feel the electricity that exists in an international competition without also the pressure of writing. And I think that's a very important distinction, or that's a very helpful thing. And what I try and get these young writers to realize is that it's a very strong distinction. The focus of the mentorship program is not on writing. It is on the other side of the competitive world. And although they gain a lot of skills as they sit in the different boxes with the different dressage judges, and that's what the young writers always say to me, oh, I'll never look at my writing the same way, or I'll never, because they're able to move around the 2 days of dressage with the different judges and see the different angles from the different A and C, and I'm not a writer, so excuse me when I get my numbers or my letters mixed up. But they talk about the impact on their own writing, but more importantly, to understand what these officials are looking for, what they see when they walk across country course with the officials. There's a whole different perception of recognizing that the officials are looking at the safety of the riders, the safety of the horses, and all the aspects that go into setting up a competition. The same thing with working with the organizer. What do you have to think about? Working with the safety coordinator, what kinds of considerations have to go, you know, through your mind? And so it just, it opens up a whole new world. And my hope is that it also opens up a way for them to realize that they can remain actively involved in this sport of events, and even if they're not competing at that point in time, and go on and do all kinds of things.
Well, obviously, it's wonderful encouragement for them to do that, because, you, as you say, you get a different perspective of the different roles of officiating at a competition, and it's something that they may not otherwise be exposed to.
No, and that's been an interesting experience for, I would say, the majority will always say, I never realized how much they were looking at, or I never realized why I got the comments that I got on the dressage test, or why the technical delegate might answer a question if I have, you know, if I put in this kind of a complaint. It just gives them, it broadens everything. And so whether they go on to, you know, perhaps go on and be a two-star, you know, level, or further on as a rider, but I would say a majority of the protégés will stay in the lower levels, and that's their focus. And that it impacts their riding, but more importantly gives them a respect and an appreciation and a sense of gratitude for what goes in to this, you know, level of competition.
Well, absolutely. The appreciation of it all, and the process, not just the end result at competition, but the actual process that goes through all of these different officials' jobs, because it is a process, isn't it?
Exactly. And I carry with me, and I encourage them before they come, once their assignment has been made, I encourage them to go through and look at the USEA packet on, you know, what it takes to be an eventing official and how much work that all of these officials have gone through, and the study and the testing. And I think it just, again, reinforces, you know, a gratitude towards these people who go on to do the officiating, and encourage. I have one young rider protege who was with me this summer, in fact, who's already begun the eventing officials program through USEA, which again is the long point we were aiming towards. 8 years is a little early to be able to document how many can we encourage to go that route. But I think it's a recognition that we need a new generation of officials, and if we don't give, you know, young people the opportunity to understand it and see some of this, it never crosses their mind.
How do they get into this program, Vicky?
The protégés themselves, the young riders themselves, we're about to, hopefully it will soon be on the USEA is working on creating a young rider website, and that young riders will be able to go directly to the USEA and see the application form. And they then fill out the application form. They then send that to their area coordinators, because it's next to impossible for me sitting in Colorado to have a sense of who might be an appropriate candidate for this particular program. And so they once they fill out the application form, it goes to their individual area coordinator, who then kind of evaluates them in general and then sends on to me candidates that they think are appropriate for this role because they have firsthand experience of the young riders themselves. And from that, I then kind of assess what their resume looks like, what their goals are, how I think they would be a good fit. And this year we actually had 10 applications, and we're really only able to take 5 applicants. The first year the program ran in Colorado, and since I'm here, I knew all the kids, and I had 10, and it was wonderful, but it was not nearly the exposure that I'm able to do. And so after it has moved to Kentucky and we've gone through a number of years, I recognized that to really get an intense exposure to all the different aspects, 5 is a great number, because that allows them to work with, you know, even though they are directly paired with one specific, professional mentor, they get exposure to all of them. And 5 works a good number to move around and give them a chance to work with the vets and to go to the safety meetings at USCF and so on. So I make the ultimate decision. And sometimes I get on the phone and I have a conversation with the young rider to see really what are their goals, because, again, from a piece of paper, it's sometimes hard to tell. And what I look for constantly is, this is not a stepping stone to to the NAJYRC as a rider. This really is to give you the opportunity to show you the complete other side of competition and encourage you to, think about maybe down the road taking on one of these other roles. That being said, as I've already said, every young rider I've had said they'll never ride the same way again. So it obviously impacts your riding, but it's not a stepping stone to get an exposure to NAJYRC for, make them a better competitor a year or two from now. I have had I have had a few young riders who were a little younger and then now went on, and there's a great article in this summer's journal about one who went on to become a 2-star rider. But that really is a secondary kind of thing. The primary focus is to expose them to this whole other world that they haven't had a chance to see.
And what is the time frame then, Vicky, and deadline for application in order to get onto the program for next summer?
Usually what I do is remind the area coordinators in January. We all talk at convention, and I remind them about the program in January. I kind of remind them again, and once I get the okay from, as long as Young Rider stays in Kentucky, then I need to wait for the okay from the USCF to allow me to run the program, which has never been an issue, but sometimes it's just a time factor. So typically in January, I will remind the Young Rider coordinators. I'll send out the application to them, but now it will be expedited because if it's on the website for USEA, any young rider can take a look at it. I then request that those applications, come to me after the young rider coordinators take a look at, they set their own time frame, but I would like the applications coming to me by the end of March, which gives me a chance to kind of review things and think about things so that by early May, the young riders know they've been selected for the program or not, because this is an issue. If I could get greater sponsorship and could afford to, do more than we do, that's a different scenario. But as it stands now, they go as part of their own area, if you will. And so their area coordinators pick up however each area funds the young riders and the grooms. They also fund via housing for the young rider proteges. They're with me all day long, and I'm moving them around all day long. But at the end of the day, they go back and stay with their own individual areas.
So is there a minimum age, Vicky, for this?
We have really, the movement of this was to be the 18 to 21-year-olds. I would honestly say I have taken young riders as young as 15 in the beginning of the program based upon the area coordinator saying to me, this is a phenomenal young candidate, please do that. By this year, every single one of my candidates, all of the young rider proteges, were 17, almost 18, and some as old as 21. So that's kind of, it's taken a while to move that direction. I think it's taken a while for the program to get known about. This year's, the two articles that were in the Eventing USCA magazine this year, in September's issue and the Young Writers issue, the two of the protégés, the Young Writers, wrote incredible articles about their experience. And I'm hoping that, you know, you just have to be patient and let this program kind of develop and take on a life of its own. And I think more and more people are beginning to get that. I don't set it. I really don't think someone younger than 16 is an appropriate choice in terms of maturity. And I would, depending upon the number of candidates I get in, really be looking more to the 18 to 21-year-old range, primarily because they are more mature, they're more settled, they're looking at things in a different way. But again, it kind of comes in terms of how the applications come in and what do my candidates look like and what am I being able to choose from in terms of, you know, how many come in and what I do.
It is a truly wonderful program and inspirational, and I guess only time will tell whether we see these young people come back into the sport in an official role.
That's right. As I say, this summer was the first summer I have had a young writer, and she's one of the ones who wrote one of the articles in the Eventing USCA, and she has begun the process. I do evaluate the young writers' protégés, evaluate the program every year, as do the officials, and then I take those, you know, comments, and I adapt the program every year. It is a, you know, constantly adaptive program to kind of strengthen it and improve it. And I'm at a point now where I really need to track, you know, four years ago, I took a look at where are these young writers now. And they were all actively involved in either college or competing at this point in time. So they have stayed in the sport, but they haven't moved into that transition that I was hoping, you know, that really was the secondary goal of this program, and that is into the officials' world. It's now beginning, and USCA and I have been talking, and I will begin to talk more with the officials' committee to see if there's a way to kind of, you know, monopolize on this, and might we move this mentorship program to four or five, you know, major events across the U.S. at the same time, tie it into, say, the first day or two of the officials' kind of educational process, and could we begin to tap these young people while they're at these different events and get them hooked and excited, and then begin the process. It's a long process, but you know, those discussions are taking place, and we expect to do more of that at convention and see if we can further develop this in order to pick up that secondary goal.
Well, it certainly is a way of looking at the big picture for the sport, Vicky. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and telling us about it.
Chris, thank you very much for the opportunity. I appreciate it immensely, and encourage any young rider out there who happens to hear this, or a parent, to, you know, take a look at things and talk to your area coordinator and look at the soon-to-be website, you know, site up on the USCA website.
And the article that Vicky mentioned, Inside the NHA YRC Mentorship Program by Emily McCauley and Jesse Hart, is in the September issue of Eventing magazine. The mentorship program is currently open to sponsorship opportunities. On next week's episode, we'll be reviewing the Neutrina USEA American Eventing Championships, so I do hope you'll join us then. In the meanwhile, enjoy your eventing.